excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our
way is on the road again. Welcome to this Oregon edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting from Eugene, Oregon, after a thrilling, mind-bogglingly difficult game. First, for a recap, the Bears came into this game as slight underdogs despite being more highly ranked, and came out of the gates like an underdog. Oregon scored first to go up 3-0 in the first quarter. Cal responded early in the second quarter with 3 points of their own. Oregon then added a critical touchdown late in the second quarter to take a 10-3 halftime lead. Cal responded in the third quarter with a touchdown of their own, and later in that same quarter, Oregon scored again to take back their 7-point halftime lead. And that was the juncture on which the fourth quarter was set up. Cal got the ball back, drove the field, and scored a tying touchdown. And the question was, would the Bears be able to step up on defense and find an opportunity to get ahead? As it turned out, not only did they get those opportunities, but Oregon handed them to them with four turnovers in the fourth quarter. The first on the kickoff after a Cal touchdown, then two interceptions, and finally a fumble at the end of the game to seal Cal's 31-24 victory. This is a more difficult game for me to comment on because I've also reported on this for Rivals.com, and that colors the way you look at a game. You try to add some distance between yourself and the plays. It's not your team, it's the Cal Bears. And it makes you look at it a little bit different. It makes you treat each play in the press box a little different. While I was ecstatic when the final play came in, it didn't have the same impact had I just been in the stands or watching the game at home on TV. But let's break down the performance of the team anyway. Play calling. Tedford came out pretty conservative, trying to establish the run, and I think he probably should have started out more balanced. It's a little bit unfair to drop that criticism, though, because later in the game, that insistence on setting up the run paid dividends. Cal was able to run very effectively in the second half, and I think that has a lot to do with their insistence on running the ball in the first half, despite its lack of effectiveness. It was clear that Oregon was going to stop the run first, and it seemed a little strong-headed to insist on running anyway, but overall it probably worked out. Nate Longshore played a wonderful game. I thought he showed amazing grit and determination to get back out there on the field. This is a man who went into the locker room unsure if he had broke his ankle. I don't know what the reports are yet, but anybody who's in that situation and tapes up and goes back out and plays with the heart he played with deserves a lot of respect and gets mine. Wide receivers, what a great day for DeSean Jackson. We knew that if a team played him balanced with the other receivers, he would have a much better day. Oregon knew not to overemphasize DeSean because Hawkins and Jordan would take advantage of that. The result was they gave up more yards to Jackson, who had an incredible game. I think it was 160 yards of receiving. Running backs. I thought Forsett did an excellent job in a difficult situation. He still got his 105 yards on the ground. And in the second half, he carried the team. He really made things happen, particularly in the fourth quarter. Those three running plays for the go-ahead TD were sheer determination. There were two or three times he could have been stopped. He slid off those tackles and did an excellent job. Tight ends, you know, there weren't that many passes to the tight ends today. And I think a lot of that was because they were kept for pass protection. And when I get to the offensive line, I'll highlight this, but I thought the offensive line did an incredibly good job of protecting Nate Longshore and opening up at least some small holes for Forsett to run through. And we can't eliminate the tight ends from that discussion because they were a big part this week and we spent a lot of time in blocking formations. And the line played exceptionally well. I mean, Longshore was hardly ever hurried. The one time he went down hurt was on a late hit that never should have happened and should have been flagged. So I thought the offensive line with the tight ends and the running backs in there for Longshore's protection did an excellent job of giving him time so that he could find the open receiver. And that was a huge difference in this game, particularly in the second half. On defense, I don't think there's anything more you can ask of this team. Yeah, the last drive was a little bit disconcerting, but they were in the right schemes again. They figured out how to play against the spread. They varied up the 3-4 and the 4-3 to get the right formation for the right Oregon package. They held a team that's scoring 48 points a game to half of that. And you have to be happy about that. The line continues to do really well despite the injuries. I think that this group continues to be the overachiever of the entire team. And boy, am I excited to have Ruan Davis back, because that's the guy who can really get to the quarterback. And the rest of the line is filling in admirably. Linebackers, this wasn't their strongest game. They've had better. But they did well enough. And the outside linebackers did a particularly good job of taking that inside receiver and making their life difficult. They played really physically, and they did a good job. Perhaps the one thing they could have done better on is sealing the corners on the runs that Stewart was getting to. He was getting to the outside and was able to turn it up the line. Those extra 5-10 yards that if the outside linebacker could have sealed that off would have been stopped short. The secondary, I thought, did an excellent job again. Really, there was not much available down the field, and they should be really proud of their performance, to be honest, because a lot of pressure is put on them in the spread, particularly the way Gregory likes to defend it. It was an excellent job on a lot of man coverage, keeping those guys in front of them, and also not allowing them to make any plays. I mean, it's one thing to not let them get behind you, but it's also another thing to, despite playing soft, come up and make the hard tackles and get their feet out from underneath them so they can't go anywhere with those short completions. As a whole, I think that's the thing that this team is doing really well against the spread, is they'll give you the completion, but they're not going to give you the yards. You're not going to be able to run with that, and they're going to get you down, and that's going to work. The one area that was weak for the defense was tackling. And to be honest, I'm willing to give him a pass this week because both Dixon and Stewart are really slippery runners. They make it very hard to take them down. And you just can't ask too much of a team. They were asked to do a lot as it was, and they delivered on that promise. So they contained Dixon, particularly in the second half, which was important. Yeah, they didn't get him down as much as we'd like, but it's more important to contain him than to get the sack. Special teams. The thing that I found really interesting on special teams was kickoffs. This pooch kick is really starting to work for teams. That for whatever reason, this seems to be the solution to the five extra yards. The number of mishandles Oregon had and Cal had, because the ball was coming to people further up in the formation, was huge. And I think kicking teams are going to have to put people with better hands in the formation to ensure that they can get to those balls. The big difference, of course, being from a punt, is that ball is live. And as we saw with Oregon, a mistake there is a huge turnover. So I expect to see more of this technique, not just to prevent yardage, but also to force turnovers. And it probably will continue to be effective until the return teams are putting in people with better hands in that second and third tier from the goal line. Field goal kicking, I have a hard time with this because I really am pulling for Jordan Kay. He seems like a great kid, and I don't think he's doing a bad job. It's just we're used to an exceptionally good kicker in Snyder. And so I'm just not going to complain, but I'm not going to give it extra props. We need to be making these 35-yard field goals routinely and not missing them on occasion. Punt returns. Deshaun still isn't getting many opportunities, and that's okay. I think he's taking an aspect of the game away from the opposition. But he needs to be able to backpedal and get behind these balls that are kicked really far. He keeps cheating up and cheating up so that these short balls he has a shot at. But he also needs to be able at that point then to get behind the ball that's kicked really far and run up on it. Because when he's backpedaling, when he catches the ball, he loses all of his ability to accelerate away from the catch and make a meaningful move on the defense. So he's going to have to work on that and position himself so that he's behind the ball, even if that means sprinting back about 10 yards before he turns around and makes the catch. Punting, always exceptional. Larson is a gift. Our long snapper is a gift. There's just never any problems here, and the coverage team is always getting downfield and getting to the receiver. Some of the big plays worth discussing. Start with the obvious one, the fumble into the end zone for a touchback. You know, if I was an Oregon fan, I would be really, really, really disappointed. That wasn't a great play by Ezef. I mean, he did a fine job of getting there and making something happen, but that was a mistake by Oregon. They had three more downs. He was on the sidelines. He didn't have to worry about going down. It was a mistake to reach. It would have been second and goal from the one with the clock stopped with 16 seconds. There's no excuse for that play. And it was a huge mistake. Cost him the game. I'm pretty sure that would have gone to overtime without it. And I don't like the Bears' chances in overtime. Not in general, but in that stadium. Another play to highlight was Jackson's tiptoe touchdown down the sideline. It was so nice to see that after Oregon had been burning Cal for yards and yards and yards up along the sideline. And to see him make the most of that same opportunity and to really sprint by a unsuspecting defender who just didn't know how much speed he had was very enjoyable to watch. A great play and definitely worth the price of admission. I think Deshaun has put himself back in the Heisman race. It's that simple. He is a big-time receiver in big games, and I'm excited to see him against USC because he is going to be going all out for that after having not had a big game performance in last year's big game. Along those same lines, there was that penalty that I think if Cal had lost the game, particularly without a lot of late scoring, would have been the thing everyone was complaining about. The late hit on the sideline by Marcus Ezef. In some sense, I feel really sorry for the kid. Here you got a team that's burning you up the sidelines left and right, and when that foot steps out of bounds is not that obvious. But he just needs to focus. The players need to know that the refs call that really tight, way too tight in my opinion. And you're going to have to watch those feet carefully for someone stepping out of bounds. And remember that instant replay is on your side, so if you see the foot on the line, it's going to come back if it indeed was on the line. But I'm not going to be too harsh on Izev. He plays hard. He wasn't trying to make something bad happen. It was just an inopportune situation. And that's the way things go. Talk a little bit about Autzen Stadium. I was really impressed with their facilities. It's a great stadium, a great crowd. It's a lot smaller than I would have thought. I mean, it has this reputation for being a tremendously hard place to play, but they can't pack 60,000 people in there if they try. They set a record this time for attendance, and it was still 59 something or other. It's a small stadium, very nice, but small and loud. I don't know that it's louder than Memorial when Memorial's at its loudest. I will give those fans bonus points for staying in the game. When the Oregon offense wasn't rallying well, they had some cheers when they were coming back from commercial. On important defensive series, they were there cheering. So you just can't take that away from them. They're a very good crowd. They're loud. I think to some degree their reputation is overstated and that places like Memorial are understated. But they're no doubt a good team. Same for everything else there. The concessions, the announcers and the video and all of that. You can see where Tedford is trying to take the program. Some of those things, you know, old blues, I consider myself a pseudo old blue, don't like. I'm not a real flashy person. I don't need those videos and the such. But when it's done well, it's a little more palatable than the somewhat amateur stuff we've been getting at Berkeley from time to time. So it's nice to see it done well, like it was at Autzen, to know that if it is done well in Berkeley, even though it's not necessarily what some of us are looking for, it won't be so annoying. Along those lines, they had twice the videos and twice the announcements that we saw at Cal for asking people to yell. They even have an alarm that they set off 5 minutes before the second half starts to let people know to get back to their seats because it's important they be there to cheer. And in addition, Bilotti had his little video announcement at the beginning telling people how important it was to cheer, just like Tedford's been doing this year in his video announcement. So I think to some degree, us Cal fans just aren't used to this, and that's why it seems bad to us. But the reality is, it works well at other stadiums, and there's no reason to fear it too much. That's all I have for this week. Stay tuned for some choice quotes from Cal players and coaches from interviews after the game.
Nate, how's the leg feel?
I'm so proud of our kids and our coaching staff. They're coming into a very hostile environment against a great football team and finding a way to win. It was a total team effort. Defense came up with turnovers when they needed to. Offense put the ball in the end zone when they needed to. It was just a great team effort. So we knew when we saw the replay on the big screen that we didn't think there was any way that could be over. I mean, they did a nice job of moving it down the field. And I was getting ready for overtime because I thought, you know, inside the five, they're pretty tough. But it was great to come up with that. He was trying to make a play out of bounds right there, and you can't blame him because the guy was tight-roping the sidelines all day and running really hard. And if you try to ease up on that guy, he'll run right through you. And so you can't really blame him for that, but to come up with that big hit at the end right there, huge play.
DJ is my MVP. You know what I mean? You can put, quote, LaVell Hawkins MVP. You know what I'm saying? Because I talked about him all week in practice. I love the middle, you know, I mean, that's where I make my money, you know, so I love the middle. You know, if the middle's open, I'm going to go in there.
Championship teams always believe in themselves at all times. They never give up. They never give up until somebody says, okay, this is over. This bye week is not an off week. It's a week where you can mentally get prepared for everything. That's why you play snap the whistle. That's why you play snap the whistle, because had he's just like, oh, he's already close. Now I'm not gonna tackle him. He could have stopped and quit. But instead, he sticks his helmet in there. He sticks his helmet in there. The ball comes out, touch back, won the game. Game over. You know what I mean? And we knew defense was the key to this game.
I'm gonna need that bye week. I'll be in the training room a lot. It would have been a long bye week if we lost today.
What was your best win of the season?
The last one is always the best one.
So that would be yes.
Yeah. On the road again.